Arenado!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
Well, we're going to do you on the interview.
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, final hour here of the Brock and Salk Show on a Wednesday. Tomorrow will be Thursday, which means we will be officially 3 weeks from the draft. By the way, it's not just any Thursday tomorrow, Brock. You know what tomorrow is? Luda. Luda.
What?
Tomorrow, Justin, Mora, what? G, all four of us, we're going to see what? Luda tomorrow. How about that?
And it's we're carpooling on the way down. Yeah.
Yes.
The EQC?
It's going to be a heck. It's going to be a heck of a night. Yes. I'm picking up Justin and Mora. Wow. And
apparently, you don't have to. I just asked if we were carpooling.
No, I got a plan for it. No, we're carpooling.
I call backseat. I'm wearing sunglasses the whole time, like I'm in an Uber. I'm not talking to any of you guys.
Yep.
Gonna pick, put my headphones in.
Gonna pick
Luda.
These guys up, and we're all gonna head down.
Oh God, we're gonna. You guys are going to rank things in the car the entire
time. That's the entire time. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's going to be, how long?
I think I know what Friday's ranking.
4 o'clock. It should take us, like, what, 3 hours to get to Tacoma?
That's about right.
Okay, so that should be
we should probably just take a ferry.
Yeah, 3 hours of ranking for you, Mora.
I'll drive myself.
Hopefully, if that's the case, we can even make it by the time the show starts. Brock, 3 weeks tomorrow will be the draft, and it's time for another draft profile.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Huard's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
The position that is becoming the most difficult for John Schneider and the Seahawks to put a valuation on, either financially or in this draft, is the interior of the offensive line. And there is no question that right now it is still the biggest need on this team. Keep an eye out for a few of these veterans. We've mentioned Cody Whitehair and Lincoln Tomlinson. Gregory Van Roten would be the third. One of those three guys may end up being a Seahawk before this draft. And who knows, maybe in the next week or so. But those guys are compared in their 30s with a lot of wear and tear to this group in their young 20s. And my draft profile today is an offensive guard from Kansas State University, the Little Apple. And this is a big apple. He is a big old man who plays on the interior. His name is Cooper Beebe. He's 6'3", and he's 322 pounds. He is a guard. Now, he played left tackle and was an all-conference left tackle, which tells you a little something about his feet and his football acumen. In fact, he was, Salk, a three-time All-Big 12 performer. He was a two-time Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year. Remember Troy Fautanu, voted by his peers as the Morris Trophy Award winner, as the best offensive lineman in the Pac-12 conference. Cooper, back-to-back years, the best road-grading, difference-making offensive lineman in that conference. That puts him in pretty rare air. The other two guys that were two-time winners of that award have been pretty damn good pros, Orlando Brown and Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey in particular, a guy that many Seahawk fans, certainly Seahawk Twitter and Seahawk draft gurus, would love to be seeing snapping with his left hand. But he's in Kansas City and he's a couple time Super Bowl winner. Cooper is just a stud. He falls into this list of many of these guys for me that are just tremendous football players. Mark Schlereth would call him a football playing Jesse. But he's not just 6'3", 322. He also ran a 5.03, nearly in the 4.9s. Which is a really good time. In fact, the time that was mirrored by Troy Fautanu. So from a 40-yard standpoint, I like that. And there's some athleticism. 27.5-inch vert, not great, not earth-shattering, but not in the low 20s where you get a little bit of concern that there's no snap and explosiveness. So you match all the football playing ability. Did I mention 51 games played and 48 starts is a durable monster in the middle there for Kansas State? I did not. But durability, stability, longevity, all big parts of his career. I love this number. Now, this comes from the school, so take it with a little grain of salt. The dude in his 3+ years as a starter, again, at left tackle, but as a guard, because he's got 31-inch arms, there's no question he's a guard at the NFL level. 1,488 career pass blocking snaps. Almost 1,500 career pass blocking snaps. He gave up 5 sacks.
Wow.
He gave up 4 of those as a freshman. Over the final 3 years of his career, he gave up one sack. Again, sometimes those can be a little jaded or a little biased when they come from the own team, but I watched him 4, 5, 6 times in person. Dude's a great player. He's going to be a very, very good starting guard in this league. It's probably a second round pick, late second, kind of round pick, maybe third, probably not. But Cooper Beebe, if that name is called, is a Seattle Seahawk, big school, big time performer, All-American, 2-time lineman of the year with a little more athleticism, tested with a little more athleticism than I think many thought of. I'd like Cooper Beebe as a Seahawk.
All right. That's another draft profile from Brock. I'm assuming he's not related to Don.
Not related to Don. Big helmet, Beebe.
No.
No, he's not.
Don wasn't the guy with the big helmet.
Don Beebe, I believe, also had to wear.
Really?
Oh, no. Kelso.
You're thinking of Mark Kelso.
Mark Kelso. Yeah.
I mean, let's get our 90s Buffalo Bills straight.
That's true. Yeah,
that was Kelso. Come on, buddy. Kelso. You're better than that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, he had to wear the big, what was that guy in Flintstones? The Great Gazoo. The Great Gazoo.
Yeah, that just totally ruined him.
There's some good interior offensive linemen in this draft. There's a few that I did not see. There's a kid out of UConn. There's a kid out of Boston College. I may profile them. But again, this is just a little biased because I've been through the Little Apple a lot. And I know what kind of stuff comes out of you. As we were chatting with Matt Miller about these different Ravens and different guys, and there's just toughness and there's big school and there's productivity, and you just check, check, check. And, you know, I think there's times you can get a little cute and times, well, I'd like him to be a little better bodied or a little better athlete, but the guy just knows how to play the game. And he's got that much experience playing it. Now, he didn't have to block the war daddies in the SEC or some of the guys at Michigan or Ohio State in the Big Ten. So the Big 12 path as far as defensive linemen, a little bit easier for him to block than what he's going to see at this NFL level. But yeah, man, there's a whole bunch to like about him and some more of these interior guys, which will really, Salky, be the question, I think, in 3 weeks from tomorrow. Like, how much value, you know, where do we, can we trade back and find still great value in the late first or second? Or can we find a way to get a second round pick? The more of these I'm doing and all these names that I'm going to be rattling off, they will.
It's so frustrating, man.
They will come off the board.
It's so frustrating.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, it does hurt a little bit when, and it's not like his is the voice of God, but when you hear Matt Miller come on and kind of trash Sam Howell like that, it's like, oh, it just hurts to, not to have Sam Howell, but to have given up what you gave up to get him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's equivalent of a 6, but it doesn't feel that way, right? Because of the players, you know, the draft swaps and the values and everything else. But, you know, that's where you have got to trust their valuations and where they feel like in this draft for them. Man, we can go to 125, right? We can get into that fourth round. We like this fourth round a lot, you know, and there are going to be, and you heard Matt say that about the linebacker from you mentioned both from Michigan and the other guy from Louisville that are going to be, in that mid-round range, but could absolutely be starters for you.
All right, coming up, we'll give you guys everything you need to know. Mariners trying to get back on the horse today, and a big trade in the NFL that changes the wide receiver market. It's all next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, trade this morning in the NFL. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs was taking his talents, Brock, from Buffalo to Houston. Houston going to be very interesting this year if you want to focus on that side. They add another weapon for a team that sure looks to be poised and ready to take a step forward this year after a major leap last year. As for the Bills, they don't get a whole lot back for the 30-year-old Diggs. They get a second rounder next year, but they also have to give up next year's 5th and 6th in order to do it. Yeah. Not a very good market. Now, we talked to Matt Miller earlier, and he said, well, I don't know if that really is the wide receiver market so much as it is a 30-year-old Diggs who desperately wanted out of Buffalo. But when you look at it, it's kind of a crazy deal.
Yeah, it is always hard to compare. You know, I think there are certain times like, okay, this is just the value. This is, you know, and especially in free agency or the franchise tag allows for a lot of negotiation, Salk, as it turns out, to kind of be a starting point for top tier guys. But you know, once you get beyond that, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and they were just done with Stephon. I think Buffalo was just done. Done with the drama.
Well,
done with
done
the
off
the field. He was done. So let's find a way to separate ourselves. And more than likely, as Matt Miller said, now where that could come into play for the Seahawks is now all of a sudden the Buffalo Bills says, I got to have the fourth receivers. Top three guys are off the board. I need that fourth receiver. John Schneider, give me pick number 16. Or these receivers are flying off the board and somebody says, hey, John, I need number 16 to get that tackle. There's a run on tackle. So you do find yourself there at a pivot point that's pretty cool. You know, had you made the playoffs, Saul? Could you fallen into that? If Green Bay lost again or whatever, and you're sitting in the 20s, you're probably not at quite the pivot spot you are at 16 with receivers and tackles that somebody is going to want.
Yeah, that's probably the good news there. Seahawks, by the way, did make a small move yesterday. They signed Laviska Shenault. Here he is introducing himself.
What's up with you guys? Laviska Shenault Jr. checking in. Happy to be here. Excited to get to work. Shout out to the 12, man. Let's get it.
Big personality, you said?
Just kind of fun, eccentric, you know.
That sounds cool.
Big high school, right? DeSoto, Texas, a powerhouse in Texas. Kind of went to Colorado, kind of played in the shadows a little bit. Ended up being the 10th pick of the second round. Never really blossomed. He's been a guy that's unfortunately been banged up through college, through his NFL career in a couple spots. He's just not been able to sustain. And probably more than likely one of his last shots to really make his mark in the NFL.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Mariners played kind of an ugly one last night. The best news is they get to get right back to it. Day game following a night game, so they play a 1:10 first pitch. Pre-game show will be at noon here on Seattle Sports. Scott, not real wild about the way the team looked last night, especially defensively. They were kicking the ball all over the fields.
Again, we had been playing good defense. We have a good defensive club, but you got to play clean. Unless your offense is really clicking and can overcome it, our offense is not really clicking yet. So every out is so important. And got a chance to win the series tomorrow, have a winning homestand, and then go on the road from there.
Mentioned earlier that one thing I did like, though, was Josh Rojas, who didn't have a great game in the field, taking some responsibility, met with the media, just said, yeah, look, I made a mistake. I had to rush it. I looked at it later. I realized I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And kudos to him. He seems like a really good dude. On the other hand, they really need third base to kind of, you know, solidify at some point.
On the other hand, Shane Bieber is pretty nasty.
Yeah, he is.
And man alive, if he got to pitch in T-Mobile, like, do you see his numbers? They were flashing him out in his career starts at T-Mobile. Ludicrous. He also spun 11 strikeouts in his opener against Oakland. That guy's a Cy Young Award winner. And let's hope, you know, George has a lot of his game with even more RPMs and even more velo. But let's hope that Mr. Kirby commands that strike zone the way that dude did last night.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Last big note here is what the numbers that came out yesterday show about the Iowa-LSU matchup from Monday night. Average 12.3 million viewers. That number is huge. It gets crazier when you really dig into it and realize that that's just the average. It peaked at over 16 million. And so I would be curious what the total number of viewers actually was. And then you realize where it ranks in terms of the last year of sporting events.
World Series game last year?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
That was more than any World Series game last year. Holy cow.
At more than every baseball game, more than every soccer game,
NHL
MLS game, more than any NHL game, and only one NBA game rated higher than that as well.
Unbelievable.
Brock, every regular season college football game didn't do that, except for one.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which one was that?
Guessing it was Michigan, Ohio State.
Good job. Yeah.
Thanks.
Way to go.
I didn't quite. Yeah. That is really
It was extraordinary. Yep, and they owned it. I mean, Monday night for them, there was really nothing else going on. I know the start of baseball season has happened, these early games in April, but they absolutely owned that spot. It's star power. It's storylines. It's drama. It is just awesome. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And it's going to, I think, trigger some huge ratings come Friday night as well.
Yeah, listen to Gino Auriemma, the legendary UConn women's coach, talk about it and what it means.
You don't want to over-dramatize it, you know, but for the longest time, it was, if someone had these kinds of moments like these kids are having right now, they were either compared automatically to men's basketball and always came up wanting, or they were, wow, look at that. Look at, like, there's actually a female athlete that can do that, you know? So it never garnered the respect factor. It was always an incredulous factor. I can't believe that, you know, she plays like a guy, you know? But now it's for real. Now they're being appreciated for their for their incredible talents, the show that they put on.
Yes, they are.
All right, that's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show.
By the way,
yeah,
friend of mine that I do some work with, she was like, "Golly, Gino and Tara, like neither of them is going to quit." Like Tara Vonderveer's got the wins record right now by a few. I think it's single digits over Gino. Gino's like, I'm not retiring. Like, you know, Gino overtakes and Tara's like, I ain't retiring. Like those two will probably coach just because they're the two best to ever do it.
Why not?
Yep. Pretty cool.
You see, just a quick note. Do you see Larry Lucchino died yesterday? I don't know whether that name is familiar to people. In the baseball world, he's a huge, huge name. Hmm. And, you know, he has more relevancy to my life than to everyone else's. But I will say that he's pretty important to everyone in the baseball community. So Larry was the president of the Orioles, the Padres, and then the Red Sox. And then he did some stuff after that. But those are sort of the three places where he really made his name. And I think of all the things he's most known for, my understanding is, I think I'm getting this right, he was kind of the guy behind Camden Yards. And, you know, the way ballparks completely changed over after Camden Yards was built, and we stopped and did away with, you know, the era of the symmetrical, you know, perfect circle, ugly buildings that were built before it.
Yep.
And, you know, T-Mobile is part of that new, quote unquote, new breed of ballpark, as old as it is, right? 20 plus years old. It's part of that post Camden Yards wave of ballparks that were built, many of which have really held up well. Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, San Diego, right? I think there's a huge group of them that all you kind of put in that same category.
Yeah.
And Larry Lucchino is a big part of that. So
very cool.
Yeah, just thought I would mention. He went on to do good work with the Padres and was part of the architect. He's one of the guys hired Theo Epstein and brought him to Boston and ended up winning the World Series there. So RIP to Larry Lucchino. Okay, I got a text here, Brock. And I know I sometimes make fun of the text line, and I occasionally crack wise or maybe even imitate it.
You badger with it.
Not here.
Oh.
I'm going to read you a text that I think is dead on accurate. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
A local band, Night Beats. If you get a chance, listen to some Night Beats. They're pretty awesome. I got this text from the 425, Brock, and I totally agree with it. Says, I know Scott has to say that, but this is not a good defensive club, which is fine. Yes. And I think that's a really smart way of looking at it, and that's the way I've been trying to approach it as well. This team's going to have defensive problems. They are. Mm-hmm. And we spent some time on it earlier in the show. They downgraded four of their positions, right? That's half, right? And take pitcher out of it, obviously. There's eight positions in the field other than pitcher, and they downgraded defensively at four of them, right? Ty France stays the same. J.P. Crawford stays the same, although J.P.'s getting older, right? So that's a conversation. Cal stays the same. Maybe he's getting a little better. Julio's going to stay roughly the same. But you're downgrading in left and right at second and at third base in terms of defense, you know, defense. That's okay as long as you recognize it. You know it's, you know, what you were going to deal with this year. And as long as the four guys that come in there are able to be improvements offensively. The problem you have this year is that really only one of those four through the first six games has shown an improved offense over what you were getting. Haniger has been really good at the plate, but Polanco hasn't really done squat yet. Nope. Third base hasn't done squat yet, although to be fair, Rojas is hitting like 430, but I don't know that anybody's expecting that to really continue. And then in left field, Canzone's got the one home run, but a whole bunch of strikeouts, and really hasn't done a whole lot either. So you kind of need those guys to start really doing their thing in order to balance off some of the problems that you expect to have defensively.
Yeah, when I hear Scott say that, why don't you play that clip again, if you wouldn't mind? It's funny because
that's the same thing.
That's exactly where I thought you were going to go. That's exactly what I thought the text was. I didn't think it'd be a Stephon Diggs. I didn't think it'd be a DK. I thought exactly what that text was. Was it a 253? It had to be a 253.
I thought it was a 4-2-5. No, I said, wasn't. Sorry.
Right. Well,
hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah, here was Scott Servais talking about some of those challenges last night.
Again, we had been playing good defense. We have a good defensive club, but you got to play clean. You know, unless your offense is really clicking and can overcome it, our offense is not really clicking yet. So every out is so important. And, you know, again, got a chance to win the series tomorrow, have a winning homestand, and then go on the road from there.
When I hear Scott say that, what I hear after 8 years of listening to the skipper is we know what good defense is. Like, we teach good defense. Mm-hmm. Defense is an important core philosophy. We are pitching a defensive team. So, like, we're good defense. Like, I know that. And they've had some really good defensive teams. Back to your analogy to start the show, the defense in baseball is like special teams in football, right? We know how important it is. We've coached it really well. We've had success in the past. So we're a good defensive team. But you don't have good defensive talent.
Right.
You got a kicker and punter that are not boomers, right? That you're going to have to just scrap and claw and be on every little detail.
And they're going
to
miss
right.
The occasional 35 yarder.
Correct. Correct. That's just going to happen.
And you're going to allow some runbacks, unfortunately. It's just sort of the way I think this team is constructed. People questioning Teo in right field over Haniger. Yes. Yes. I think absolutely. Yes.
Really?
Yep. Yes.
I think over 140 games, Mitch has to play that. I'm with you. But yeah, Teo was also fairly average.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. I would say definitively, as a defensive outfielder, Teo from last year, what I would expect from Mitch Haniger this year, Teo. Mm. Mm. Yeah. And I think at second base, you know, I don't think that's the strength of Polanco's game, right? And, you know, Wong, for all of the problems, I know the range was sort of down last year, but he wasn't there for a huge portion of the year. You're talking about Dylan Moore, who's been pretty good over there, and Caballero, who I thought was excellent, right? He's a shortstop who was playing at second base. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would defend it. Jared Kelnick, what he did in left field last year, mm-hmm. and obviously Gino Suarez.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel pretty strongly about this, to be honest with you.
So is this one of those, from a construction standpoint, I think we can all agree, and we did over the course of the offseason, maybe not everybody, because you could have added and spent some dollars in some other places, mm-hmm. but you did not take away from your pitching. That was just a steadfast, we are not going to move a Woo or a Miller or any of our young studs. A Logan, we are going to, this is the bedrock and the foundation of who we are. Does it concern you at all that defense is so often attached to pitching?
Yes.
That you hope it doesn't have an impact on those guys, and they've got to think they've got to be so perfect.
Yes, I'll tell you this. It concerns me more than the number of strikeouts they've had through six games.
On offense?
Yeah. Because like the strikeouts are what they are. You got to hit for some power. You got to walk. You got to get on base. You got to do all those other things. And you can live with a bunch of strikeouts. I'm much more concerned with a pitching, you know, focused team. This is why, you know, this team is interesting to me, because it is a new team. I know there's a lot of same old, you know, accusations. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to be better than they were last year. They may be worse than they were last year. I don't know what it's going to look like yet. But they are built differently than they were last year. And I think some of that run prevention will suffer from it. In mm-hmm. theory, some of the runs scored should go up. Mm-hmm. And we should start to see more of that offensive philosophy kind of take hold. But as good as the pitching is, you know, through the first turn in the rotation plus, you've had two quality starts. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be better. Is that a terrible concern that I think is going to continue? No, probably not. But this team's got to pitch better than it has. It's got to hit better than it has.
Yeah.
And the defense is probably going to be that thing that is left out.
Yeah, I mean, this early in the process, 1 week into the season, you know, all these are little watches. And it's going to be that way for the first month of the season. Just kind of watching this, kind of evaluating this, kind of seeing, okay, what kind of impact is it having? And certainly, if you do struggle to make extraordinary plays, now Julio's had a few run-preventing plays. I mean, he's made a catch that 15% of the league can make and 25% of the league can make, and he does some extraordinary stuff out there. But, yeah, I'm going to be kind of watching, geez, you know, if these pitchers, Salk, have to feel like I got to strike everybody out, mm-hmm. if they got to feel like, man, I can't pitch to contact, because if that contact goes to third or goes to second or goes to left field, or, you know, then you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's going to be a watch. The other thing is the top of this lineup's got to be better. I mean, we can, yep, Canzone has struggled at the bottom end of it. And, you know, Yuri's still looking for his first hit.
And they're set up to deal with that. They're set up to deal with Canzone struggling or Yuri struggling. Like, they can handle that.
Yes. But JP, two hits through six games.
Can't handle that.
And, yeah, not getting on base. And Polanco not getting on base. And even Julio, just numbers-wise, when you compare him to all these other stars that you put him out there with, a Juan Soto and the others around the league.
And they're waiting for – Cal hasn't hit a home run yet. Something tells me he'll hit a few of them before this season is over. Julio hasn't hit a home run yet. He's going to hit a few of them before this season is over. So, you know, you've not really seen much of what this team is really built to do yet.
Yep.
So nobody should be, you know, overreacting to being 3-3 and not playing their best baseball after the first six games of the season. But I think that there are some things that we can learn about the team and start to be ready for based on how, you know, I could see the rest of this season going.
Yep. Yeah, but sure like to see George go get that series win today. He and Logan were the two that put together the quality starts the first time through. He didn't love being taken out of the game after six plus, and got a sense after watching Bieber spin it the way he did, you know, last night, and control, you know, all of that zone and every inch of that plate, that when George is on, he does the exact same thing. So be sure nice to just get a little series win. You know, split with Boston, win with Cleveland, go on the road at 4-3. And as you said, the biggest thing about this month of April is not do what you've done the last couple of years. Put yourself in a hole that you're digging out
of. Just don't do that.
Just don't do that.
Just don't do that. Just kind of be in it and allow the rest of the season to take shape after that. Just kind of put yourself in that kind of a spot. Is there anything that's impressed you in the early part of this year? I would say one right now, after the last couple of days, Ty France has gone the other way a few times, and we've started to see a little much better at bats, I think, than we saw last year from him.
Yep.
So I think that's good. Let's see what else would kind of be on that list.
Stanek throwing 98-99 and closing it down the other day.
Some things that I like seeing there. Stanek looked filthy. Munoz has looked filthy. I like this Cody Bolton dude.
Was he on our preview? I don't remember.
He was. Yeah. So I may have mentioned this to you during spring training, that Cody Bolton was the guy that I think they were highest on of all of the people they kind of brought in to see who would become the next Drew Steckenrider.
Right.
What he is to me is actually the next Justin Topa. I don't know whether anybody else noticed that watching him last night. The pitch mix is very similar, right? Two seamer, cutter, and slider, sweeper, whatever it is you want to call it. He might not have as good a two-seamer as Topa but I think you saw that good sinker movement. You saw him manipulate the ball moving in both directions.
Yep.
So I kind of like what I'm seeing from Cody Bolton. That's one that, you know, if somebody's going to step up into that next spot, he's going to be the guy I'm watching for.
Yeah, where did he – was he a trade? Do you remember? I don't remember him even in the acquisition phase. I remember a lot of the other names, the Colin Snyders.
No, he was around. He was just available.
Okay.
He actually gave him a little bit of money, I believe, and he was the first guy that they brought in. So.
Okay.
Let's see. Bunch of texts coming in. This is how every April goes in Seattle. Another hyped up team failing to live up to expectations. What's new? Sorry to be so bitter. I'm just over it.
Yeah.
I don't know how hyped up this team was, but okay. Julio being patient at the plate is huge. He's had a few walks that have been refreshing to see. I would agree with that. Yep. Still a little swing and miss in Julio's
game.
Swing
and miss. Yeah.
He's always going to be.
Yeah.
Because he takes some big cuts.
He does.
I'm impressed by Garver playing two games in a row. All right. See, that's unnecessary from the 253.
It's April 3rd.
That's not right. That is quite frankly absurd. How dare you? Why does it feel like every game is so meaningful right now? Has it always been this way? These games aren't that meaningful. You are overblowing how meaningful they are.
Was that from G? Who's that
from? I
don't
know. Yeah, G is on our text thread now, and it's a lot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I feel like you're going to snap.
No, I'm just going to mute it. It'll be fine. I'm just going to mute the thread. And
it's a lot, but I responded the other night just so he can't say that I didn't respond.
Or did you ever respond? Yes. You were the first one in like 6 seconds after it came. I was like, oh, yeah, Morris going to make sure she's the first.
Salk,
you're not going to last. You're absolutely
with
right.
G? No chance. Absolutely not. There's no possibility.
I like the way you described it yesterday about him asking, like, essentially, how soon do I start to worry? And you were like, this is like throwing an interception in the first quarter of the first week of the NFL season.
But also, like, if you want to worry, go ahead. Like, I told him, go ahead and worry. Go ahead and panic. Go ahead and watch the game however
he told you
you're
want. You're a baseball snob.
No, I said go do it. No, I clarified that with him. He took it back. Because I say, hey, go do whatever it is you want to do. I don't go watch the game however you want.
Once again, I'm enjoying watching the game. He's a high maintenance friend. This was you had to like go clarify something.
He's a high maintenance everything. He's the most high maintenance person I know. Yes. But it's like, okay, hey, look, if you want to be up and down and live and breathe with every single pitch in April, go for it.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's a just. I don't want you to text me about it because I'm not doing that, and I don't want to have to respond. Or don't be mad when I don't respond to you.
Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of my football friends who get really into baseball early in the season start to do that. I'm like, you can't watch them the same way. I'm sorry.
They can. Let them watch.
Okay, you can.
Go watch it however
you want.
Don't
project it on me.
Please don't project it onto me. I'm just enjoying watching baseball in April for a team that's 500 right now after six games, and I'm not losing my mind because JP went 0 for 5 last night. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. JP can go 0 for 5, and it does occasionally amaze me that we're still having these conversations. All of these years later, but that's where we're at, Brock. Yep. That's where we're at.
Yep, that's what baseball does to you. It's the beauty and the blessing, and it's also the daily curse. It's every single day.
I like that part of it. I really do enjoy it. A lot of people wondering if Bolton would consider coming out to a Michael Bolton song, maybe
I've
When a Man Loves a Woman.
Yes.
That would be, yeah.
Is Michael Bolton still performing? Is he still in some casinos in Oklahoma?
I don't know what Michael Bolton does these days. I got to tell you, I'm not following his career.
You weren't the biggest Michael Bolton guy.
I celebrate his entire catalog, Brock. Sure.
I was waiting
for
someone to go there.
Obviously.
Seems like he's got a pretty good sense of humor, too.
Sure. Sounds
he does.
Good.
He's in those commercials where he like kind of makes fun of himself.
I always confuse Michael Bolton and Kenny G, kind of which one is
I
which.
Do that, too.
It's the hair, right?
I guess.
It's the Cocker Spaniel
and
hair.
The style of music, kind of.
Yeah, the cheese.
They
but
don't
one
have the same
one doesn't
hair.
Sing. One just plays an instrument.
If you say so. I don't know. I'm not sure I really understand
Michael
the
Bolton
difference.
Michael Bolton is a singer-songwriter, yeah.
Well, we're not going to be ranking either of them, but Ranked is up right now.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
You know, we spent a while talking about Julio and the joy with which he plays the game of baseball. Even played Jeff Passan's sound where he said that Ichiro told him he wished he could have played the game with that same amount of joy, and he loves how much it affects the guys around him. So, Brock, we've never ranked joy. Joy ranked today.
You've never ranked joy.
No?
We thought of him now. Really? Should we rank Bolts now?
Why, do you think we have?
Two Bolts?
No, I don't know. No. I mean,
are you calling that into question?
Yeah.
You have some, like, worship songs you want to hit on here?
Like Joy to the World?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, is that a top five already?
Yes.
Brock, there's a couple in here that I think you're really going to like. Yeah. At least I know one artist that you're going to be like, oh, thank you for playing this.
Is it Santana and Chris Stapleton?
Could be. So to the head to crumble. There may or may not be another Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, I do have another Chris Stapleton. You want more Chris Stapleton, Brock?
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Here's a little more Chris Stapleton.
I tell you, baby, you are the joy of my life.
It's a good slow dance song for you, Brock.
Did he do the anthem at the Super Bowl? Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
He's really good.
He's very good.
Very talented.
We got Vance Joy.
It's a pretty popular guy.
Yeah, we got Joy Wave. Right, you know that one, right, Brock?
No, I don't know.
Those are two huge songs.
We got Samara Joy, who won the Grammy for Best New Artist a couple years ago.
But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. Mortgaged all my castles.
Can I say something really offensive?
You don't like music like that?
I'm not a big jazz person.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I'm not either, Brock.
Neither is Heather.
Yeah, I just don't quite, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
I took a jazz class in college thinking I was going to like start to really like it. Would go to Tula's and Belltown and Jazz Alley. Like, yeah, I can live without it. I had fun there.
Jazz Fusion?
I wasn't going to listen to
it. I really liked.
I like Dave Brubeck Quartet.
Dave Brubeck's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
like jazz song?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite style of music to listen to, but yeah, I would say I like jazz. I would define myself in a positive more than negative.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's okay.
I mean, I don't want to offend any of the jazz lovers out there.
It's fine.
I'm just not a big jazz.
Doesn't bring you joy.
No.
It's 98.9 Smooth Jazz.
When everything in your life is going your way, that's when joy takes control.
This is joy. With an unstoppable spirit and unbeatable energy, joy brings a smile to your face and no one cares.
I feel like you would love that movie.
Yeah, Inside Out? Yeah. Great movie. I definitely cried at Inside Out.
I believe that.
Which emotion were you?
You can't make fun of him for crying at American Idol, then.
Right.
Sure I can.
It's a Pixar movie.
It's a Pixar. I mean, that movie is designed to make you cry.
Well, you think American Idol heart tug stories aren't?
I haven't cried at a kid's movie as an adult.
You don't have kids. I didn't either until I had kids. Now I cry at all of them. Just how it goes. Sorry.
Is it Marie Kondo who's the one that said you got to throw it out if it doesn't bring you joy?
Yes. I think that's her.
Yeah.
Of course, you got Jackie Joyner, Kersey Brock, and Florence Griffith Joyner, Wally Joyner, Seth Joyner, Joy Behar.
Oh, Joy Behar.
Anna Taylor Joy.
Anya Taylor Joy.
Anya, excuse me. Anya Taylor Joy.
Anya. Sure
get that right. It's a good split. It's
Anya.
Good
movie. Yep.
You know the Christian acronym for joy?
I don't.
J-O-Y, Jesus over yourself.
Oh.
That's how you get real joy.
I'm surprised I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Sounds like
something that would have come up in my life.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't.
Almond Joy is a mood.
What do you have against Almond Joy? Why is it not top
one of my
five?
Favorite candies?
Yeah,
you know what I have against Almond Joy? It's not the joy.
It's coconut.
It's the almond.
The almond?
I don't like almonds in chocolate. Get your almonds out of the chocolate. No need for it.
What do you want your almonds in?
I like them salted by themselves, but
smoked.
I don't want that in my. I don't want that in the.
Let me just
in the chocolate.
Jot this down another for when I rank salts bad takes.
Now, peanuts? Sure. Here. Throw peanuts
no
in there.
Almonds in chocolate.
Peanuts. G. Peanuts. You like a good joystick? Some floor joystick?
Do you like coconut?
Yeah, I like coconut.
You do?
Yeah.
Joystick to joist.
I've seen the Joy Luck Club. Actually, I never have.
Did you see, read the book?
You know, there is no joy in Mudville, Brock, as Mighty Casey is drunk.
Absolutely
out.
Right.
Sure you knew that one.
How about that joystick back in the day to play Space Invaders?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Frogger.
The old one. Yeah, the original the Atari. Yes. I like the one you would twist back and forth, the little dial for like River Run or whatever on Atari.
Pitfall.
Yeah, just outside the top five. I know people love this band. I've just never been able to get into them. Joy Division.
Yeah, it's good reason.
Yeah. I know. I just can't quite do Joy Division. Sorry.
Why does it sound like it was recorded in a bathroom?
It might have been.
It's in the system.
Is that part of the... Oh, okay. Is that part of the style?
I don't know.
No. Just synthy and weak.
I'm not convinced anybody actually likes Joy Division. They just like say it that they do because it's supposed to be like...
Like Morrissey and Elliott
right.
Smith.
Yep. Number five, Joy Rank, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
See my pride and joy. See my sweet little baby.
I also thought you'd put that top five.
I just did. That was number five.
Oh, okay, good. Shoot. I didn't know you guys.
Justin, try listening.
Well, I was looking for something else right now.
Justin, listen.
So what's going on with Maura and Justin?
I don't know.
They just tune us
They don't
out.
Listen. They're done with us. Who can blame them?
It's a four-hour show. We missed one line, and you guys
roast us.
What if I missed a line? What if I repeated something Salk just said?
Well, we have other jobs to do
Never
behind
happened.
The scenes.
So
you guys are talking to each
Never
other.
Happened. No. So do I, Maura. I'm you taking notes. I'm multitasking.
Number four, Joy.
I'm texting. I'm tweeting. Oh, that's good.
That's not Raising Joy. Yeah.
It just puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
That song sounds like a roller rink.
It does.
Did you have a roller rink in Libby?
Oh, sure did.
You did?
Oh, yeah, we did.
We had Tiffany's down by the bridge.
We had Roller Kingdom in Hudson.
What do you have, Maura? You weren't listening. Never mind. Number three.
You know what we learned yesterday? We learned that Brock, G, and Justin are all prom kings.
Yeah, what the heck?
And only the two good-looking people, me and Maura, were not. And I just feel like that's crazy.
Well, we learned that your weird school that does tea after football games didn't have a homecoming
no chance.
Or prom
right.
king.
No chance that we did
right.
that. Yeah.
Right.
So I
just wasn't popular.
Otherwise,
enough.
I'm sure I would have been.
But apparently, actually, Justin and Brock and G all were.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. What can you say?
I can't remember if it was prom or
Were you class stud as well, Justin?
I was class president, Brock.
Yeah. Perfect.
Actually, I was student body president.
Heck yeah.
Not just a class.
Student body.
That's wow. great.
Wait, how many guys were there?
Four. That's not right.
Four guys. Number three, Joy ranked. Here you go, Brock.
Come on.
Do you know who sings this, Brock?
Oh, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I don't think you do.
I do.
No, you don't.
Doggone it. It's not like Hootie and the Blowfish, but it's a name with something else.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who is it?
You're thinking about how Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's just the way the song starts.
Doggone it.
That's Three Dog Night.
Three Dog Night.
Way to throw a dog
see?
In there, though.
No,
that's good.
Three. I knew Three Dog Night.
Yeah. They also sang One is the Loneliest Night. Almost at it. I'm sure you won't know who sings this one either. And Pain. Raw Bass, DJ Easy Rock.
Yeah.
Joy and Pain. Yeah. You like that one better, or do you like It Takes Two better?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. No, well, I was really kind of asking Maura.
Yeah, it's like, that's a Maura question.
I was mostly asking Maura.
It Takes Two.
Yeah, same.
And that was number two?
That was number two.
Nice.
That was number two. I assume people know what number one is.
Please.
Is it easy? Number one, I mean, Beethoven did it first, Brock, but nobody did it better than this guy.
Me, 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 me.
That would be Ode to Joy, Beethoven's ninth, as sung by the Muppet Beaker. Thank you. Number one, Ode to Joy.
Actually incorrect. Sung by... Dats.
Jeff Dats.
And to play us out, should we?
They're going to bring Datsy back for the salmon run, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Come on, Michael. Seriously.
Cody Bolton.
Bite your bottom lip right now. Oh.
I don't know why you say that. We got to run. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Oh,
until
yeah.
then, the hay on, is in the barn. See everybody.
Bite that bottom lip. Yeah, so good.